The Lord, in his great Sermon on the Mount, gave us our greatest challenge and most important goal when he said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." In those words, Jesus challenges us to strive for excellence in everything that we do, to develop our talents and abilities, and to live in accordance with his teachings. The pursuit of excellence should be the major work of our lives. There are many people, however, who seem to give little attention to this. Perhaps they feel that it is not possible for anyone to become perfect in this life, and so they let the immediate pressures dominate their actions. While it is not possible for us to become perfect in a total sense in this life, it is possible for us to reach perfection in many specific areas of activity. Furthermore, if we fail to do what we can and should do in this life, we may deprive ourselves forever of the opportunity to do those things later on, and thus lose great eternal blessings. As we think about that, let us be mindful of the words of one of our poets, Holland, who said, "Heaven is not reached in a single bound, but we build the ladder by which we rise from the lowly earth to the vaulted skies, and we mount to the summit round by round." With that as a base, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to mention a few specific ways in which perfection has been reached or can be reached in this life. Just a few weeks ago, the 1976 Olympic Games were held in Montreal, Canada. Were you watching on TV when the gymnastic competition took place? And did you see that 14-year-old Romanian girl, Nani Comăneci, score a perfect score of 10 in four of her performances, and one other girl did that once? Or perhaps you watched the track and field competition, or the swimming or the diving. And if you did, you saw some great performances. Competitors, assisted by coaches and trainers, had spent many, many hours over many years trying to perfect their technique or form, to get perfect coordination between mind and body so that they could reach their full potential. And some unbelievable things happened as a result. Now in the team competition, it was necessary to get a correlation of effort among the competitors in the team, on the team. For example, in the relay race, there were four runners to a team. And the intent was to pass that baton from runner to runner without losing any forward speed, and the foursome that most nearly approached that or achieved that usually was the winner, because these athletes were very, very outstanding. Success in athletic competition is pretty much a matter of attitude, knowledge, and skill. Inherent ability, of course, is important, but that in itself is not enough. Do you remember the Be Honest With Yourself program that was sponsored by our MIA organizations a few years ago, under which recordings were made of outstanding athletes and others, and were made available in record form to the members of the church? One of those records featured Robert Richards, one of the great American pole vaulters. And in this recording, he tells about meeting a young woman from Holland, a swimmer, who had a great desire as a young girl to become an outstanding swimmer. But she got polio. Now, she was able to get expert medical attention, but in addition, she massaged her limbs, her legs and her arms, hour after hour, day after day. Improvement came slowly, but it did come. And finally, this girl was able to swim across the pool. And she said that was the happiest day of her life when she accomplished that. But she was still not satisfied. She hadn't reached her goal. So she kept at it day after day. And finally, the time came when she could swim the length of the pool, then several lengths of the pool. And in the 1932 Olympics in Los Angeles, she defeated the world's greatest swimmers in her events. So that's what it takes, that spirit. Now, similarly, we have similar demonstrations of courage on the part of our handicapped people, who, because of war injuries or accidents or some other reason, they seem to face impossible odds. The new era for September of this year carried the story of a young girl from Nephi, Utah, who was very seriously injured several years ago in a tragic car accident. I know that young lady. I know something about her spirit. She didn't give up, and she has accomplished many things. Student body president, for example, in her school in Nephi, and president of one of the writing organizations, also in charge of the yearbook. As it is in athletics, so it is in other aspects of our living. There are artists, poets, other writers, musicians, craftsmen, technicians, and others in many fields of activity who strive diligently to do their best in all that they do, and then try to make their best better. One of the best examples of this, of course, is our great Mormon Tabernacle Choir, along with the organist and the spoken word presentations, first by Richard L. Evans and more recently by Spencer Kinnorn. The choir members and others who have participated in these outstanding presentations over the years, and the millions of people who have listened to them, know that the unreachable star of perfection has just about been attained by these people insofar as this earth is concerned. God bless them all for their dedicated, committed service. Now, with respect to spiritual matters, we can be perfect in this life in paying tithing, in abstaining from the use of alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, in being honest in our dealings with others, in having personal and family prayers, in holding our family home evenings, reading the scriptures daily, and in many other ways as well. We can, my brothers and sisters, if we really want to. No one is perfect, but everyone should be striving for perfection. If we should stumble or fall as we journey along the road of life, let me suggest that we apply the counsel given by one of our great athletes, Cliff Cushman, member of the 1960 U.S. Olympic team. He won the silver medal in the 1960 Olympics, and he was favored by many to win the gold medal in the 64 Olympics. But in the American trials, he hit a hurdle, fell to the track, and was eliminated. Many messages of sympathy were sent to Cliff Cushman, and he replied to them with an open letter to the youth of his hometown in Fargo, North Dakota. And this is what he said. Over 16 years ago, I saw a star, first place in the Olympic Games. I literally started to run after it. In 1960, I came within 3 yards of grabbing it. This year, I stumbled, fell, and watched it recede 4 more years away. In a split second, all the many years of training, pain, sweat, blisters, and agony of running were simply and irrevocably wiped out. But I tried. I'd much rather fail knowing that I had put forth an honest effort than ever to have tried at all. Certainly, I was disappointed in falling. However, there is nothing I can do about it now but get up, pick the cinders from my wounds, and take one more step, followed by one more and one more, until the steps turn into miles and miles into success. I know I may never make it. The odds are against me. But I have something in my favor, desire and faith. And let me just say that that's one of the things that characterizes all great athletes, desire. At least I'm going to try. How about you? Let me tell you something about yourselves. You are spending more money, enjoying more freedom, and driving more cars than ever before. Yet many of you are very unhappy. Some of you have never known the satisfaction of doing your best in sports, the joy of excelling in class, the wonderful feeling of completing a job, any job, and looking back on it, knowing that you have done your best. I dare you to look up at the stars, not down at the mud, and set your sights on them that up to now you thought were unattainable. There is plenty of room at the top, but no room for anyone to sit down. Who knows? You may be surprised at what you can achieve with sincere effort. So get up. Pick the cinders out of your wounds and take one more step. I dare you. The last report I had on Cliff Cushman was that he was missing in action in the Vietnam War. The church is engaged in the greatest work in all the world, saving the souls of our father's children. It is important that each member know his or her duties and be dedicated and committed in carrying them out in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. It is important that all concerned have vision of the total job to be done, and of his or her role with respect thereto. It is important that we marshal all the resources and get them working together in a correlated way so the church can reach its full potential in helping the Lord bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Our goal is perfection for all of God's children who will listen, accept, and live the gospel. We may be successful in this. Our greatest responsibility is my humble prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.